23. 9/11 Mystery, Sophia Smallstorm, Fluorine Fluoride and the Destruction of the WTC. APR 2009 On March 16, 2009, Sophia Smallstorm, maker of the film 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1, Demolitions and owner of the website www.911weknow.com appeared on The Mike Herzog Show, American Awakening on the WTPRN network to discuss a new theory she had just proposed to explain some of the destructive effects seen at the World Trade Center complex on 9/11. In this article, I will look at why this is significant, and ask the reader to consider the history behind this latest episode in the ongoing muddle-up of 9/11 truth. My motivation for writing this article is to document the activities of those people who seem, at first glance, to be helping to spread the truth about what happened on 9/11, but then when it comes to discussing or analyzing certain key evidence, their attitude and behavior seems to mysteriously change, or their direction of discussion or study seems to alter. Sophia and the Fluoride Deception. On The Mike Herzog Show, mentioned above, Sophia said that she had been reading a book called The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson. At time code 5:25 into this broadcast, she said, "As I was reading this book, I just was connecting dots with 9/11 and I know it sounds bizarre." She then talks about the element fluorine and gives an accurate description of its reactivity and how it forms fluorides. She also mentions how the state of California is to refluoridate water, at the order of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Though this is a separate matter of some concern, it seems strange to link this to the events on 9/11 at the WTC. In the broadcast referenced above, Sophia continues and at 5:57 states, "I read in this book that fluorine cuts through steel like butter, burns asbestos and reacts violently with most organic materials." Sophia does not make it clear if this is a verbatim quote, although the way she reads it suggests that it is. She then talks about more of the chemistry of fluorine and fluorides and what she says is accurate. However, she omits two things: a, elemental fluoride F2, is a green gas. B, in liquid aqueous form, it is an acid, hydrogen fluoride HF or hydrofluoric acid, which is not the same as fluoride. She correctly describes fluorides as salts of fluorine. HF is highly corrosive because it is a strong acid and it is likely she meant that it is this that will cut through steel like butter. However, it should be noted again that HF is an aqueous solution, that is, it's a colorless liquid. Some readers may be familiar with hydrochloric acid HCl as this is commonly used in high school secondary school experiments. HF is basically a much more reactive compound than HCl. Hydrogen fluoride is primarily used in industrial processes. How interesting it is linked under bioterrorism in that reference. Sophia then discusses fluorine's role as a reducing agent, something which grabs oxygen atoms from other compounds in the smelting of metals, but she does not make it clear what this has got to do with 9/11. She basically says fluorine and fluorides are toxic substances, which is true, and there were highly toxic substances at Ground Zero on 9/11, therefore there must be a relationship between these things. She mentions that fluorine dissolves steel, which is not technically true. Hydrofluoric acid HF will dissolve steel, not elemental green fluorine gas. In common with Alfred Weber and Learn More, its discussion of HAARP and the WTC destruction, Sophia does not even begin to suggest how fluorine, a green gas, was delivered to the WTC, nor does she estimate any of quantities involved. Neither does she suggest how hydrofluoric acid, the liquid form, may have been delivered. She provides no other evidence that it was used. She merely makes a weak comparison with one or two characteristics of some of the WTC evidence but goes no further. If it were the case that Sophia were just a newbie to the 9/11 scene and therefore was someone who had not really spoken to other researchers or looked into related issues, it would seem more likely that bringing up fluoride's role in the destruction of the WTC might seem to be more understandable. However, her presentation of this fluoride theory happened over 2 years after her well-produced 9/11 Mysteries film first appeared. It therefore seems a reasonable guess to suggest that Sophia has been researching 9/11 for at least 3 years. Below, we will see and hear some of the evidence which shows Sophia has been speaking to other researchers about 9/11 and other topics. She has also spoken about topics such as those closely related to weather control. Dr. Wood and Sophia discuss. In March 2007, Sophia recorded an 85-minute-long conversation with Dr. Judy Wood. Though this interview was recorded some months before Dr. Wood posted her Hutchison effect study and about 1 year before she posted the Hurricane Aaron study, it should have served Sophia well in familiarizing herself with an overview of the evidence that Dr. Wood had already posted by then to 19. One of the interesting notes about this interview is that Sophia does not comment all that much when Dr. Wood points out the lack of building debris following the 22nd destruction of the two 1350-foot-tall steel glass and concrete edifices known as the WTC Twin Towers. Dr. Eric Karlstrom and Sophia discussed the Madison 9/11 conference. In January 2008, following the release of the Madison Conference Divide set 14 hours of material, Sophia appeared on Eric Karlstrom's Truth Quest radio show. On this show, they discussed a range of topics, including Dr. Wood's Madison presentation about the destruction of the WTC. Eric Karlstrom had written a synopsis of the conference. For example, at time code 36 and 40 seconds, they discussed the trucking in and out of dirt from the WTC site. They talk about decontamination of the site, then about white fumes which look like steam and the plume of material which rose from the remains of to the buildings. Karlstrom brings in and essentially misquotes the idea that lasers and masers were involved. This is Jim Fetzer's vocabulary, not Dr. Wood's. Karlstrom quotes Dr. Wood's new Hiroshima analogy, but incorrectly he seems to imply that Dr. Wood had talked of a nuclear explosion at the WTC rather than just a nuclear process or just molecular dissociation, which is the key phrase used by Dr. Wood when describing what happened to much of the WTC material. After this part of the discussion, Karlstrom says to Sophia, "Can you fill that out anymore?" Sophia responds, "No, I'm not Judy Wood. I can only tell you that the pulverization of the buildings was extreme and Stephen Jones believes that thermite is powerful enough if the thermite is basically iron oxide and sulfur thermite and aluminum and then with heat added the chemical composition changes and it becomes aluminum oxide and iron, molten iron. So, he believes that if you add enough sulfur and if you granulate the compound, the thermite compound enough, you can give it explosive characteristics. So whether it was thermite or whether it was something plus thermite, the pulverization of the towers was extreme. And you see, this is accounted for in the biological fate, the biophysical reaction of the rescue workers." So here, we see that Sophia is quite happy to discuss Stephen Jones' theories in some detail and quite accurately, it seems, but she is unwilling to discuss the directed energy weapon evidence or technology because she is not Judy Wood. So, by this logic, is Sophia Stephen E. Jones? This is not a serious question. After this, Karlstrom makes remarks that he thinks paraphrasing that Dr. Wood is on the right track to finding the truth and Stephen E. Jones is not on the right track. Sophia responds, I think there's room for both of them. There's every possibility that thermite plus some other process was used and there are experts in all different disciplines. Judy Wood is someone who has been able to language more creatively when she says the buildings disappeared. This is something we would all laugh off and say no they didn't, nothing disappeared. But she's pointing out a very extremely quick pulverization, so it's an accurate word in some ways, not everyone can talk like that. She shouldn't be criticized for speaking in this way because she's pointing out some very salient things. Karlstrom then discusses Dr. Wood's description of how the towers went away and he points out that Dr. Wood is a scientist with an understanding of the behavior of materials etc., but at 47:45 Sophia says, right, but Stephen Jones is a physicist. He's capable of understanding the same things as well. He knows the melting point of steel, we have to give him credit, he's not uncredentialed, he's just operating, as I said, on another part of the spectrum. The two are not mutually exclusive. That's my belief. Of course, the melting point of steel is not relevant when one realizes that no large quantities of steel melted, at least. Not by normal heating. Most of the WTC steel turned to dust. At around 53:00, Karlstrom then starts to discuss chemtrails and Clifford Carnicom's aerosol crimes film, which Sophia distributes through her online store Avatar Products. I mention this because it indicates Sophia's interest in the chemtrail phenomenon, and its related apparent effect on the weather, which she specifically mentions in a later broadcast with Jim Fetzer, see below. One of the proposed ideas as to the purpose of chemtrails is to assist with weather modification or control. Therefore, one would expect Sophia to be very interested when, later, the Hurricane Aaron study posted by Dr. Wood pertained directly to weather control. Sophia and Jim Fetzer on Dynamic Duo. 9/11 and chemtrails. On August 5, 2008, Sophia appeared on Jim Fetzer's web radio show. Interestingly, this was the first show by Fetzer after the two shows that Drive Wood and myself recorded on the 30th and the 31st of July 2008. On this broadcast 185, after some introductory pleasantries, at time code 220, Sophia begins to talk about chemtrails and she discusses them again at time code 30 and 25 seconds. However, at 14:58 Sophia states, Arnold Schwarzenegger has just told the state of California the fire season was normally 3 months, but now, guess what now, it's all year. Now our fire seasons are year-long, which allows them to engineer disasters, which is state-sponsored weather terrorism, for control of our lives. And this is all possible because of the electromagnetic preparation they have done in the ionosphere and the atmosphere. Now all they have to do is throw the switch. The fact that Sophia used the phrase state-sponsored weather terrorism implies that she would accept that someone has the ability to control the weather. I therefore ask, why is Sophia seemingly so reluctant to talk about Hurricane Aaron? Even though it had been mentioned in the two previous Dynamic Duo broadcasts, and Fetzer had commented on the matter, it was not brought up until the last segment of this broadcast, when it formed part of his monologue. Dr. Wood is now suggesting the source of energy. This is my interpretation of her, what she is talking about. There was a hurricane off the coast of New York that was never reported to the American people on 9/11. This is bizarre. A hurricane could theoretically be used as a source of energy that might have been expended in the demolition of the Twin Towers if you could figure out how to transform it in a constructive, directed fashion. On the surface, this might sound correct, but sadly it isn't. Dr. Wood did not say the hurricane was a source of energy nor that the energy was transformed. Dr. Wood's study is about field effects, which is a different idea, and it ties in exactly with John Hutchison field effect experiments. Indeed, Dr. Wood entitled the new study 9/11 Weather Anomalies and Field Effects. Fetzer omits these ideas and clearly stated connections. Neither does Sophia make any comments about the Hurricane Aaron study or any other parts of Dr. Wood's latest research. Andrew Johnson writes to Sophia. Following this appearance with Fetzer, I was concerned that Sophia had said 29-41, Stephen Jones' work is fine. However, I had already discovered what Stephen E. Jones was doing did not seem to be fine. For example, he had been getting basic information about isotopes wrong, misquoting facts about aluminum and using faked or massaged data in one or more of his public presentations 121. This seemed to be on simple slip-ups or errors introduced through rushing. On August 28, 2008, I therefore wrote to Sophia about this, and also about chemtrails, which I have also done a considerable amount of study and research into. I sent her some of the links here, and I suggested to her that there was a lot of evidence that 9/11 was a much bigger event than the likes of Stephen E. Jones want to tell people. It employed technology far in advance of thermite and other explosives still not fully specified by Jones or anyone else. Oddly, in the broadcast with Fetzer, Sophia said similar things herself. I also sent her links to Dr. Wood's Aaron study and she asked for a further explanation, so on August 30, 2008, I wrote back to her, including a summary of my own interpretations and conclusions of the Hutchison effect and Aaron studies, and I suggested that she watch the videos I had edited together of the Ambrose Lane interviews about the Hutchison effect study 97. In the video I made of the Ambrose Lane interviews, I tried to include visuals to explain the evidence. If you are able to watch them, it may clarify some things. I know that some of the concepts are not everyday ones in the way things blowing up is an everyday concept, but the phenomena we discussed have been investigated by a small number of well-qualified scientists, such as Hal Puthoff, Robert Kuntz PhD nuclear physics and several others. Much of this information was included in John Hutchison's affidavit which a lot of people seem keen to ignore which was submitted as was my own to the court Southern District of New York in Dr. Wood's case where she sued SAIC, ARA and others for their participation in the NCSTAR fraud. As regards the field effects, what we are talking about is interferometry and resonance effects of some kind. Dr. Wood pointed out how resonance can be destructive, using the example of wind and the Tacoma Narrows Bridge destruction. But these can, indeed, be difficult concepts for people to understand, but the evidence itself not difficult to understand. For example, some of the key evidence regarding field effects is the Alaskan magnetometer data Aaron 5. You can see significant variations in the Earth's magnetic field coinciding with key events on 9/11. The data is clear and unequivocal. People I have presented to have had no difficulty in seeing the correspondence. Also, many people know that a storm has an associated field effect, as they can literally feel it approaching. If you study some of the free energy technology experiments, it seems that when you make high-speed oscillations or use high-frequency waves of from certain equipment in certain ways, various effects seem to come out as if you are tapping into the zero-point field. Nick Cook, UK James Defence Weekly correspondent, explains this here. http://www.chechecatechnice.com/discloscuresnicacookanantigravitwreseach.mp3. No, we cannot name the exact gizmo or gizmos that did this, and that is a sticking point for many people. What we can say with certainty is that U.S. military personnel, that is at least Colonel John Alexander, have known for 25 years of John Hutchison's experiments in technology, and we have documents which prove this. In November 2008, Sophia had learned more than Alfred Weber on her radio show, on two consecutive weeks, to discuss the destruction of the WTC-229. Even though Sophia had been made aware of the information above, we exchanged several emails, she did not mention any of these things in these two long interviews. Why? Questions and conclusions. If the fluoride theory has any merit, why did she not get a scientist to comment on her fluoride theory before coming on air? How does she think it helps us get to the truth of 9/11? Did Sophia ever stop to consider how the fluoride theory could comprehensively explain, and this is a very brief list, 1, circular holes in the surviving WTC buildings, 2, upturned cars and levitated witnesses, 3, steel being turned to dust it was not dissolved in liquid, 4, Hurricane Aaron's proximity to NYC on 9/11/5, magnetic field effects, http://www.drjudywood.com/article/aaron5.html. I am therefore given to wonder if Sophia's fluoride theory, being as it is based on little or no firm evidence, is part of the ongoing orchestrated muddle-up of 9/11 truth? For a moment, let's make a comparison. If I was to say tobacco was involved in the destruction of the WTC, would people think it was a credible theory? My logic could be that the towers turned to gray dust. This looked very much like the ash from burning tobacco. I therefore think that somehow, the steel turned to tobacco, then the fires burned it to ash. Smoking tobacco also causes lung and other cancers, and many rescue workers have some form of cancer. This theory has a similar style of logic to Sophia's fluoride theory, but like Sophia's theory, there is no additional supporting evidence, apart from a simple visual and circumstantial resemblance. More importantly, there is a great deal of other evidence the tobacco theory does not explain, only some of which is listed above. I might discuss such a theory privately, but if I was genuinely interested in the truth and had already made a film about it, I would not go and discuss it on a radio show, without having some confidence that I had strong evidence to back up most or all of the things I was saying. Why did Sophia make 9/11 mysteries? She has said she spent a lot of her own money making it. Is she interested in 9/11 truth? Was she interested in examining all the evidence? One would assume she was, because she wasn't forced to make the film. She has been made aware of the very strong evidence for directed energy weapons. She knows that a qualified scientist, Dr. Judy Wood, has taken this evidence to court. Sophia has discussed some of the evidence personally with Dr. Wood, and Sophia's website sells a DVD with Dr. Wood's two-hour presentation on it. Sophia is interested in chemtrails, and one might safely assume she was therefore interested in their possible relationship to weather control. So why does she neither express any apparent interest in the Hurricane Aaron study, nor has she discussed it any detail on any of her broadcasts? We can see from the evidence above that Sophia is quite capable of researching and quoting facts accurately about fluoride, fluorine, and Stephen E. Jones' thermite theory. However, When Alfred Weber and Lorne Mort appeared twice on her expansion program, she did not seek to emphasize the evidence discussed was that of Dr. Judy Wood, even though Sophia was fully aware of this. Neither did she question Mort and Weber on some basic points of evidence, as already discussed in a previous Article 229. I therefore, as ever, leave readers to draw their own conclusions. I hope it is clear what my general conclusions are. Video interview with Sophia. This interview aired on September 20, 2007, and here, Sophia is interviewed in relation to 9/11 mysteries by Harold Channer at about 3 to 40 into the above, he says.
Okay, I wonder if I could, you said you traveled around the world. Your family, was it a business thing, a military family
it's
that brought you around the world?
I'm going to really go into, but okay. I had the opportunity to see the world as a child and see that different cultures thought in different ways.
But was the family involved in things that moved you around the world? As an infant, you were talking even.
No,
when
as
you
a
were,
child.
As a child.
Yes.
And so the family was moving
yes.
around. That's an unusual kind of thing. Usually was
Some
that...
Some people do it.
Yeah, but it wasn't your family was military?
We're going to move on, Harold.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. You don't
All
want
right.
to talk about that. Okay,
yes.
fine. But